So we're starting now, in Yetz Hashem, with Hashem's help, we're starting the third gate of the Nefesh HaChayim, Perik Aleph, the first chapter. Umash Kosov Kan Lamokum. Now we speak of Hashem as being called the Mokum. That's what he's going to go into now. We call Hashem the Mokum, the place. In Chazal, in different teaching with Chazal, different quotes, they speak of Hashem as being the Mokum. Hashem is the place. That's an unusual name to give Hashem, right? But that's what it's called. So that's what we're going to go into a little bit to try and understand what that means. V'chein ba'avos amru, also in Pirkei Avos it brings, k'she'ata mispalil, it says that when you daven, it says in Pirkei Avos, when you daven, al tas tfilosha keva, don't make your prayer like a fixed obligation. Right? You're fixed, you're filling in your timesheet, you're clocking in. Right? Your davening is not just clocking in, Shachris time, let me clock into the shul, let me finish off my davening, and let me get on with my life. So therefore, don't make your prayer as just like something that you do out of rote, something that's just a fixed obligation that you have to do, get it over and done with. El rachamim v'tachnunin. That's not how a prayer should be. It shouldn't be something that's fixed. Rather, it should be rachamim. It should be a request and a pleading with Hashem for compassion. We're asking Hashem to have compassion on us, v'tachnunim, and supplicating, and begging Hashem, supplicating Hashem, pleading to Hashem. Right? And the phrase there in the Pirkei Avos says, El rachamim v'tachnunim lifnei ha-mokum baruch hu. There should be supplications and requests for mercy from the Mokum. We're asking mercy from the Mokum. The Mokum, blessed be He. The Mokum, the place, blessed be He. Referring to Hashem. So there we have another quote that Hashem is called the Mokum. We're davening before the Mokum, before the place. Ramzu Zal Batevis Mokum. So our rabbis are hinting to us with the use of the word Mokum, the Indian God, a very, very important issue. Va'inyan Tzarich Biu. And this idea needs to be explained. L'havin oimek kavanosim zalbaze, that we should understand the depths of the intention of our teachers in this. Ulemaz bekroy the ringzim alzem. We're also going to try and explain verses that also hint the same idea that's held in this idea of the mokum. Kva amru chazal ba'avos. Now there's another teaching in Pirkei Avos that says as follows. Shekol divreim gechole eish. It says that all the words of our teachers of the Chazal. The Chazal, the teachers of the Mishnayos, the Gemaras, the Midrashim, all of their words are kechale eish. They are like coals of fire, fire coals. Shekemor hagechel, it's just like a fire coal. Shabshalo nirabo rak nitzitz eish. If you look at it, you just see like a black rock, a black stone. If you look at it, you might only see just a little spark of fire. You just see like a little drop of yellow there in the coal. You just see something like a little. A little scratch almost of yellow, a little spark of yellow, a little spark of fire in the coal. Right, even though that's all it seems to contain. If you invest energy into it, you'll turn it over. You'll turn over a coal, to blow on it. You'll blow on a coal. The more you blow on it, it'll actually fire up. It'll start burning. It'll fire up, but the spashet bohanitzot, and that spark will suddenly spread. Suddenly you see like a big red stain on it. The redness spreads through this coal. You just saw a little mark before, and now it's just through blowing on it or turning it over, moving it. Suddenly this red stain spreads, and you see the whole thing is glowing with a red fire. Actually, and you can get it up to the point that the entire coal is giving off this heat. You can see the whole of the fire, the flame coming out of the coal, if you move it around correctly. And then you can get benefit from it. If you move it around, you get benefit from it. It gives light. If you're in a dark place, it gives off a light. It gives off warmth. It's, if it's cold, so you stand near the coal, you get warmth from it. However, you can only be opposite the coal. You can be near the coal and opposite the coal, but you can never hold the coal. Don't take it with your hands. You say, oh, it's such a nice warm fire and it's such a nice light. Let me take it in my hands. If you do that, right, you're going to get burnt. You're going to get hurt. So you can enjoy it at a slight distance. You can get the light, you can get the warmth, but you can't hold it. Because once it's flamed up, you have to be very careful that you're not scorched by the coal. That's the analogy that we give to the words of our sages. We say the words of our sages are like this coal. So with this comparison of a kol, we compare all of the words of our sages. She'af she'nirim dvarim k'tzarim u'pshutim. That even though they seem to be, at times, it seems to be the words are short and simple. Right? Often many teachings you say, I knew that. That's a simple teaching. A short, simple teaching. Something that's, So even though many of the teachings appear, many of the teachings, we're familiar with them. It's because we've heard it before. We've heard it before sometimes tens of times or hundreds of times. So we hear certain teachings. And so, it's a short, simple teaching. So it doesn't seem to contain anything in it. However, these words are like a rock that smashes a big sledgehammer that smashes a rock. If a sledgehammer smashes a rock, you've got a big rock, you smash it, so suddenly it splinters into like 100 pieces or hundreds of pieces. Just the whole thing sort of breaks into all directions, and the little pieces go shooting in all directions. So similarly with the words of our sages, shekol she'adam mahapech, because the more you turn over the teachings of Chazal, the more you engage in them and you're careful with them and you deduce them, why did it say it like this, why did it say it like this, you actually examine the words of Chazal and you inspect it carefully. What are these words saying? What's the message saying? What's the real saying here? Ya'ura einov mishalevus oirim hagodol. So your eyes will be lit up by the flame of light that comes from them, the flame of the fire that comes from them. And it's by turning over, examining, inspecting, and thinking deeply into the words of our sages, suddenly you see it starts glowing, just like that coal. It seemed to contain very little light, but when you start moving it around, when you start blowing on it, and it suddenly flares up, you suddenly see there's a lot of light in it. There's a lot of warmth and light. The same thing with the words of our sages, that it suddenly lights up. We find in the words of our sages very deep ideas, like another teaching, also from Pirkei Avos, that says, turn it over, because it's all in there. Take any teaching of our sages, keep turning it over, turn it over, think about it from this angle, think from that angle, you'll see it contains everything. Everything is hidden in the words of our sages. Aval, on the other hand, you have to be careful with the coal of the rabbis, of the words of the rabbis. That's what we call the words of the rabbis, like a coal. Shelona kanes v'lisboinen lachko b'dvoim she'en reshus l'sun l'sboinen b'hem yoyse midai. That you shouldn't enter to start thinking and investigating things where we don't have permission to think about too much. There's certain ideas that the Torah contains, or the words of the sage contain, that can mamish damage a person. You start thinking about those things, you can hurt yourself. So the same thing as the coal. You start touching the coal, you start touching it with your hands, you can get singed. So the same thing, the words of the sages, if you just look in the wrong places, then you start going too deep, then you can actually get hurt. Ka'amram sham, and like it says in that teaching, you should warm yourself, keneged uran shel chachomim, warm yourself opposite the fire of the sages, hainu shelo lisrachik. In other words, don't distance yourself. Stay close. Warm yourself from that fire, because that fire is a fire. It can give you warmth. It can enlighten you. It can inspire you. So therefore, don't distance yourself. At least boin and klal b'divrem. Do not think about the words. Don't distance yourself from thinking over their words. Ki lo yene me'orim klal. Because if you distance yourself, you won't get any benefit from the light. You can have all the teachings of the sages, but if you don't learn them and investigate them, inspect them, or if you just read it on the outside, just read it very quickly without thinking about what they say, you won't get any, you get very, very little benefit or no benefit. So therefore, on the other hand, don't distance yourself. You have to be close to the fire to enjoy the fire. If you're very far from a fire, you don't get any benefit. So therefore, don't distance yourself from their light. But also, don't come too close. So that you shouldn't get singed. You have to be opposite at a slight distance. Be careful of the coal. Be careful of the coal of the words of the sages that you don't get singed. Now, that's an introduction into investigating this word mokum. He wants to show us here that the word mokum also contains many signs, many very deep ideas which will enlighten us, which will motivate us, which will warm us. But there's also an area of the word mokum that we can't enter. But that's like an introduction that when we're going to speak about this word mokum, we should realize that we're dealing with something important and deep, and we should give it the proper attention and the proper respect to try and understand what he wants to tell us. So over here with this word mokum, gamken, Hagam shepshuta muvan. Even though people understand the simple meaning of mokum, Hashem's the mokum. So we understand Hashem is the creator of the world. He's the source of the world. Simple understanding that Hashem is called the place. Okay, makes sense to us. Aval kashin edaktek bo. If we'll think about it more deeply, we'll just be trying to think a little bit more about it. We'll find that there's included and hinted to this in this term of mokum. There's another great idea that's going to come, a great topic that can be exposed by this name. Ki. Inyan mashahu yisbok nikra mokum. The idea that Hashem is called the mokum, the place. Peshul chazal, the breishis rabba. The sages explain this in the midrash. Al posuk v'yifko v'mokum. It says that he came to the place. It's referring to Yaakov Avinu. When he ran away from Eretz Yisrael, his brother wanted to kill him. So he went all the way to Aram Naharaim. He went to where Lavan lives. But when he got there, he suddenly realized that he went past Har Habayis. He passed the Temple Mount. And therefore he went back. He said, I can't leave. I can't pass by such a holy place without visiting there. So he went back. And he came to that place. It was also a miracle that he got there very quickly. It was a miraculous journey. But he got to the place. And he came upon the place. And it's called the place. So Rav Huna b'shem Rav Ami Omer, Rav Huna in the name of Rav Ami says, "Mipnei ma mechanim shmu shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu." Why do we nickname the name of Hashem? Because obviously the reference is not to the place, but to Hashem. He met up with Hashem there. He went to this place, he met up with Hashem. And that's where he had that great dream. He saw the ladder with the angels going up and down this ladder, the ladder that stretched to the heavens, and Hashem at the top of the ladder. But there it says that he met with Hashem. So the Midrash says, why do we call HaKodesh Baruch Hu this nickname, Koin Oysu Mokum? Why are we calling him place, the place? Says the Midrash, because Shehu Mekoim Eshel Olam, because he is the place of the world. This is a well-known teaching. He is the place of the world. The Ein Olam Mekoim, and the world is not his place. It's not that the world houses Hashem, but rather Hashem houses the world. The world is his, right? The world is his, not he is in the world, but the world is in him. He is the place of the world. That's one midrash. A Shmois Rabbah, another midrash in Shmois. Sof Parsha Mimhei, V'tanchuma Parshas Tisov, Yom Hashem Hine Mokum Iti. On another verse, Yom Hashem Hine Mokum Iti. When Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading for the Jewish people that Hashem should save them from the sin of the golden calf. So if we see that the end of Parshas Kisi, so it's an amazing thing. He was pleading for the Jewish people and he succeeded. Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He appealed on behalf of the Jewish people, and Hashem gave him his request. But at the same time that he granted Moshe's request, Moshe received something else. He got a whole new closeness to Hashem that he never had before. And in fact, that's the whole parsha. There's a whole length of that. That's the whole parsha where he said, he asked Hashem, together with us, once he'd received what he asked for, to save the Jewish people. So he asked, Hereinis Kvoidecha, let me see your glory, Hashem. And Hashem told him, Lo yireini adam b'chai. You can't see me and continue to live in this world. But I will show you something. Right? And there's the whole parsha what Hashem showed him. So there the pasuk says, right, he says, I'm going to let my spirit pass before you and I'm going to protect you that you shouldn't be hurt by seeing this vision. And he told him this verse. V'yom Hashem. Hashem said to him, Hine mokum iti. There's a place with me. Come stand with me, so to speak, while this vision passes before you. In a mokum, there's a mokum with me. So on this, the Midrash says, Amar Yosi b'chanina, right? There's a place with me, mokum iti, there's a place with me. You know, it's like there's a place in me. The place is, right? I am the place. There's a place that's in me, and I'm the place of the place. In a mokum iti, asri tfeilali. Right, the place, this world, the space of this world is secondary to me. It's tofel to me. It's secondary to me. Then I need tofel ashri. I'm not secondary to the world. It's not the world houses me, but that I house the world. I'm the place of the world. So on that midrash also, on that pasuk also, they learn the same idea that Hashem is the place of the world. The Ken Isa b'sheikh etoyv, and he brings other sources, the Tehillim, Mizmor, Tzadik. Now, uv'lefi pshutoy. Right, so therefore Hashem is the place of the world. So according to the simple understanding, Roy Tzolomer wants to teach us, Kumosh HaMokum, just like a place, just like a place carries and holds something that's placed there. Right? You have a room, and in the middle of the room you have a table. So the room holds the table. Because of the room, the table has where to be. The table is in the room. So the place, that's the room, is holding the object, which is standing in the room. The chen bedinyam zeh, if we use that analogy, right, the table is in the room is holding the table. If we use that analogy, habayre odin kul yisbol shmo, the creator of all, blessed be his name, hu hamokam amiti, he is the true place, just like the room is the place of the table, so he is the true place, hasevel mekayim ha'ulomis v'abriyas kulam, that is the one who carries and sustains all of the worlds and all of the creatures. All of the worlds, including not just the physical world, but all of the upper spiritual worlds. And there are hundreds and hundreds, millions of them. All the millions of spiritual worlds going all the way up to the throne of glory, etc. All of these are being carried by Hashem. He is the place of all of these worlds, are all within Him. He is the one who sustains them, and He's the one who holds them. Shim chas v'sholot yisale koichim him. So therefore, if at any point He would remove His power from them, if he would stop supporting them for a second, afrega achas, even for a moment, if Hashem would stop sustaining, He's carrying everything, He's sustaining everything, He's supporting everything, everything is receiving its life force from Him. He is the one who's giving life to all of the worlds. So therefore, if He would stop giving life to all the worlds, even just 1 second, right? Afas makoim kiumo. So therefore, all of the whole place of their existence and their whole life force would just disappear. If Hashem stopped willing all of the worlds into existence for a single second, they just disappear. Actually, this table is here because Hashem wills it to be. He wants it to be here. If He should stop willing it to be, it would just disappear. It wouldn't crumble, it wouldn't break, it would just disappear. It would just cease to exist. And so the same thing with the whole world, same with ourselves, etc. That's who He's called that. That He is this place, He is the source of the world. He is the mokum of the world. So just like the table stands in the room, so to speak, carries the table. Hashem carries all of the worlds. Ukumosha kosuv, as we say in the pasuk, v'atem b'chaye eskulom. You give life to them all. You give life to them all. Everything, all that's in existence is all given life to Hashem. My Hashem. V'hu pinas yasoid emunas Yisrael. And this is the fundamental basis. It's the fundamental idea. One of the major philosophies of the faith of Israel, right, that Hashem is the source of all life. This is, Mamish, this is something that the Rambam brings right in the beginning. It's one of the basics of our faith, one of the fundamentals. Hashem is the source of life of everything in the world. Moshe Kosov Rambam Bereish Sifra, Rambam writes at the beginning of his Sefer. L'chem koyer b'zoya la'adun kul yisbar shmoi. And that's why the Zoya speaks of Hashem. It calls Hashem nishmosu v'kol nishmosin. Calls Hashem the soul of all souls. The soul is the life force, right? The soul of a person is his life force. So Hashem is called the soul of all souls. Just like it's the soul of a person, it gives life to the body and keeps the body alive. And also, like the Moses says in Sanhedrin, the Moses says, because a piece of meat holds for 3 days. If you leave a piece of meat, you've got a piece of meat, take it out, you got a steak, you leave it on the kitchen counter, you forget to put it in the, right? These people go on holiday and they come back in the fridge, right? There was an electrical power failure and all the meat in the freezer went off. So anyone who's experienced that, apparently it's the most terrible stench you can't believe. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. That if you leave a piece of meat for 3 days out, so then it rots completely. And yet, the meat of our bodies is many, many years old, and it hasn't rotted yet, right? We're all fresh. We're all fresh meat. Yeah? We haven't rotted. How come? The neshama is sustaining them. The neshama sustains our bodies, and that's why we don't rot. Leave a piece of meat on the counter, it'll rot in 3 days. But we are sustained. Who's sustaining us? Who keeps us from rotting? Is our neshama. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kein Hu Yisbarach Shmoi Hu Levadeh Cheu Ilomim Kulam. Therefore, He alone is the life of the worlds. Just like each person or each animal's neshama will keep it alive and keep it from rotting. So Hashem is the life of all the worlds. Ki Yodua, Im Kuimis Rabbos, Vitikunim, Reyam Hemna, as we see from many, many places this is referred to. V'ayin V'reish HaKtom, Ashniya Shel HaTikunim. Look at the second introduction to the Tikunim. V'mayim HaPosach Eliyahu, look at the teaching over there. Many teachings which speak it out, how Hashem sustains absolutely everything. V'kein Rezal, Dimu Kiyum Kol Olam, Al Yidei Koyach Yisborach, Koyach Yisborach. Certainly our sages have compared the existence of all of the world, all the whole universe, through the power of Hashem, So the Chazal compared l'kiyum haguf al yedei koichas haneshama to the survival of the body, to the health, the living of the body through the neshama. Now, as we use this parallel, right, we parallel the life of the worlds to the life of the body. The neshama sustains the body, and similarly, parallel to that, Hashem sustains the worlds. So that's a moshul, that's an analogy that Chazal use all over. But Amru, and this is the Gemara Brochus, my neshama melea v'zonis kol haguf, just like the neshama fills. Neshama fills the body. It's the spiritual reality of the body. It fills the entire body. It's not something physical. It fills the entire body, and it sustains. It feeds the entire body. It fills the body and it feeds the body. Afakodesh Bochu. So too, Afakodesh Bochu Mole is Koylo Olam. Hashem fills all the worlds. Hashem is here. He fills the world and he sustains the world. He is the soul of the world, so to speak. Right, and the Gemara God brings other comparisons. So this was the poshut pshat. This is the very simplest pshat to say that Hashem is the place of the world, because He gives the world its existence. He allows the world to exist by being there for the world. Perik Beis Amnam. However, Pnimius Inyan Makoy Mishal Olam. However, the deeper idea behind the fact that Hashem is the place of the world, which is a very, very great idea. That they nickname Hashem the place of the world, because really, that Hashem is the place of the world doesn't compare at all to, let's say, a room that holds some item in it. Right? We said a room holds the table. So we say Hashem holds the world. So really, the comparison is a very limited comparison. It's not the same at all. Right? The table, the room holds the table. Okay, Hashem holds the world, but it's really not the same thing at all. It's just a very, very limited comparison. Because the essence, the self, the existence of that table has its own reality by itself. A table is a certain reality. And the place where you put the table only saves it from falling and breaking. I put a table in the room. The table has its own existence, only independent existence. The table is a table. It's a table without the room. The room is a place where it can be. If the room wasn't there, it would just fall and break. The room sort of is a place where it to be. But otherwise, right, you leave it, if you can't put your table in your room, you leave it outside. So, you know, it happens to tables that are left outside. They depends which neighborhood you live in. But they could disappear. They could break into 1,000 pieces. So therefore, the place provides a place for the table to be, but the table is its own individual existence, has its own individual reality. And similarly, the body, which is sustained by the soul, the body has its own existence, independent of the soul. The soul gives life to the body, but the body is an independent existence. Aguf yesh lo metzius bifnei atzmo. The body is its own reality. The enum is battle metziusoi gam betzeis and neshama menu. And therefore, its reality doesn't nullify, doesn't become nothing if the neshama leaves it. If the neshama leaves the body, so the body dies, but it doesn't cease to exist, doesn't disappear. And the neshama leaves the body will rot. But it's still something. It's a something without the neshama. It's a something. It's a piece of meat without the neshama, but it is a something. It's not nothing. However, all of the worlds, called Ikis Avus Mitsyusam Korege, which is the entire being or existence of all of reality every single moment, who rak mi ito yizbogh is only from Hashem. And if Hashem would remove his desire that they should exist any moment, you lie in the efforts moment, they would disappear and be nothing, like we mentioned before, it would just disappear. So therefore, it's not the world doesn't have any independent existence. If Hashem would cease to want it to exist, it would just disappear completely. So in that sense, Hashem's sustaining of the world is different to the room that holds the table. It's much, much more. Right? And it's only on account that no creature has any independent power. No creature has its own power. Even the highest of the high, the highest of angels, the highest of worlds has no independent power. Nothing. Even the highest of angels doesn't have any independent power, any independent existence without Hashem. So since no created being is able, no created being can really understand the depth of this, We can't really understand that we would cease to exist without Hashem wanting us to exist. We can't really understand that. We can't really imagine ourselves ceasing to exist, just disappearing. We can't really understand that. Even angels can't understand this fully, because Hashem is way beyond. You can't understand what's above you. You can understand what's below you or with you at your level, but you can't understand things that are above you. So therefore, no one can really grasp this idea. We can understand it theoretically, but to understand it really, to really grasp it, we can't do this. Ekol Olamos, how all of the worlds, the Kol Sfarim, and all of the hosts, Hema, the Etzem Ein, they really are nothing. In essence, we're nothing. In essence, we're all nothing. In essence, our whole world is nothing. Everything that's in the world is all nothing. And we ourselves are nothing. And even our souls are nothing. In essence, we're all nothing. It's just that every moment we're brought into existence. We're brought into existence. Mimenu is brought from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why they chose to compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHazbir Oizvin, in order that we can have some sort of connection, something to make a connection with it. Our ears can hear it. Oizvin Shemas Bekev Chachomim, right? The ear that should hear the teachings of the sages, Betevis Mokum. So therefore, we use the term Mokum, that he is the place, to somehow break through to us that really we exist because he wants us to exist. He carries us. And he wills us into existence. So therefore it uses as an analogy the name Mokum. The name Mokum is not a description of Hashem, but it's somewhat of a description, somewhat of an analogy of the power of Hashem, so that we can understand that he sustains us.